Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, I'm talking about the absolute essential non-negotiable need that every single husband on the planet has to create his sacred space. This is ideally a morning practice zone where you drop in, you get into your nervous system, you get into your body, you get into your mind. It's like meditation is a process of coming to know your mind. This is where you submerge into your inner world and you get to work on you, supporting your nervous system, your mind, your body to bring out your best. So many guys around the world, and I know myself for years, you know, the reported complaint is of married life is this background sense of overwhelm, that there's just so many responsibilities on your plate. The sense of unfairness of the sort of shit that you get, you perceive that you get from your queen, like the so-called criticisms. This background feeling that your best is never good enough. It can get very, very intense. And again, as always, I do acknowledge your emotional human experience of the intensity of it. And yet there is this part where, you know, are you really doing your best? Now, with the toolkit, you know, on one level, every single one of you, I acknowledge you are doing your best with the toolkit that is available to you. You know, if you try to build a skyscraper or a beautiful mansion with just a small little toolbox with just a hammer and a saw, I mean, you're not going to get far. The sacred space is where you really can start claiming that you're doing your best. This is probably the most expansive, high leverage practice and new strategy and habit that you can set in your life. I'm going to kick off with a quote from Joseph Campbell, badass, the guy that got the hero's journey together as a systematized process, fucking badass human being. His quote goes like this: "You must have a room or a certain hour or so a day where you don't know what was in the newspapers that morning. You don't know who your friends are. You don't know what you owe anybody. You don't know what anybody owes you. This is a space where you can simply experience and bring forth what you are and what you might be. This is a place of creative incubation. At first you may find that nothing happens there, but if you have a sacred space and use it, something eventually will happen." Joseph Campbell. Let's just get down to it, guys. Important leaders have their sacred spaces. Like the US president. You're all there. He, and obviously can be she, has the Oval Office. The king has his throne. The heroic husband has his sacred space. This is coming from identity. I want to wake all of you up and your nervous systems to pay attention to this. You've got to start identifying as one of the most important leaders on the planet. Your work today is setting down the experience for yourself, your queen, your children, and seven generations afterwards. In this profoundly sick society, trust me, it's like from a state of inner knowing, laying the destiny of humanity on the hands of world leaders. Like, just look at how that is working out in the world. I mean, there's disunity, there's war, there's just shit happening all around. You are one of the most important leaders on the planet, but you've got to show up, you've got to take that identity on board and go, yeah! Like, literally now, if it's available in your space, in your environment, if it's appropriate, you're not going to get locked up or people are going to look at you weirdly. So in some cases, so what have they do? Just go, yeah, you know, inside yourself, or even if you can scream it out, it's like, yes, I am an important leader. I'm an heroic husband. Have this experience, like bring it into your nervous system, make it come alive. That's the art of learning. Educare, the root of the word education, is drawing out that which lies within you. Make it an emotional experience. Your sacred space, it becomes your one space dedicated to bringing forth the truth of who you are and the brilliance of who you may become. You know, fuck overwhelm. All this overwhelm, oh, I don't have time. That's one of the most overused, unquestioned assumptions of married men. I'll talk about myself. For years, I don't have time. I really, really thought I was a victim of my married life, a victim of how many things my queen was asking of me, a victim of, you know, beautiful sort of this dichotomy, the two-sided coin of children. It's like on one hand, you know, the heart and it's all, they're the greatest gifts ever and so beautiful and so appreciative of them, blah, blah, blah. On the other side of that coin is, oh my fucking God, nobody gave me the instruction manual. Like, there's just like, when does parenting end? When does like responsibilities, cleaning, like when does like babysitting, bring them places, friends, parties, all the, what? You know, it's like, if you get real with it, I was one of the key guys that I just don't have time. I don't have time. It's a bullshit excuse. Let's just get real. And you, hey, if you're like me, several years ago, man, you're going to be like 100%. You're going to be 100% there on, that's, you don't know my life. I was so much in victimhood. I was making the absolute assumption that I had no time. But that is a story. This is the space where in shadow work, it's where I would say the lily flower of your truth gets freed from the murky, lifeless depths of your psyche. The place where society shamed your full expression into staying locked. It's a deep space where you go there. You go where 99.99% of men are scared shitless to go, in shadow journaling. When you're breathing, once again, breathing freely, your lightened body, your free in breath, you'll find that your mind starts painting. What's it painting? It's like it's this space becomes an artist studio where the masterpiece of your greatest imaginable life emerges spontaneously, miraculously through you. But as Joseph Campbell said, it's like this is a place of creative incubation. If you don't have a space where you're planting seeds of potentiality, where you are reflecting upon what you want, what you desire, who you are, there emotionally, psychologically challenging experiences and figuring that shit out. If you don't have that, you're not going to incubate anything beyond the same shit, different day experience that you have been creating. You gotta have this space. Like if you look at it, CEOs, great CEOs, billionaires, social reformers, world leaders, military commanders, I'd say a lot of Olympians, most if not all, they rise before those in their world awake to set their mind and body up to win. As Tony Robbins says, always, success leaves signs behind. Now, you can, my friend, do whatever the fuck you want. You can go with the belief of, I don't have time. Mark doesn't understand the pressures of my life. I don't have time. I listen to the podcast and I'll just leave it at that. My question to you, sir, is how is that working out for you thus far? And I know from certain messages coming through, not very well. You know, it's potent. The act of listening in is a potent act in itself. It's definitely better than just rummaging on with the sort of thought patterns, emotional patterns set down in your childhood, of course. And I acknowledge you for your courage and your tenacity to keep listening in. However, there is another level that is necessary. If men who succeed in the world have a practice of getting up earlier before other people in the world to set themselves up, their nervous systems up for success, for clarity, for the inner world experience, because they know they create their outer world from their inner world. It's an inside out process. Think about it. When you're in your fullest problem-centric experience in marriage, in your married life, in life in general, it isn't your attention on the outside. It's like, oh my God, all this shit on the outside. Oh, the crap my queen has given me. Oh, the responsibilities. Oh, I'm doing my best at work, but by the time I get to commute and all in and the overtime, I've just no time left for me. It's outside in. That's the way that your paradigm works when you're overwhelmed and you're feeling like a victim. You're a victim of your world circumstance. You got to revert that order and go, no, I'm going to lead myself from the inside out, from my thinking, talking, and taking action. They're your three creative tools. And in this sacred space, you set up your thinking, talking, and taking action to be exceptionally effective in creating your outside world from the inside out. Let's do the maths. There was one of the guys in Heroic Husband's Men's Circles. When he came to the circles just about a month ago, he's in the intro call with me. He was talking about like profound levels of overwhelm. Himself and his queen have a young child, and there's a lot of responsibilities on his shoulders. I was actually smiling in call, just knowing full well it's like myself and my queen were through that phase. One of her daughters at the time recording is turning 10 today. Her other one is 13, going on 14 in a month's time. So we're out of those infant days. So this guy was really, really reporting a sense of overwhelm, deeply, deeply stressed about it. And then he made one change that has been the greatest turnaround. Like, he showed up there a week ago and it's like he was just like a man on fire. He's already getting his ass up out of bed earlier. Beautiful, super courageous. If he's listening into this, and I didn't get his permission to mention his name, I salute you. It's like an amazing change in such an early phase. He's getting up an hour and a half earlier. So I'm going to go with 60 minutes earlier, and I'm going to challenge you to make that possible. Of course, you can go with 30 minutes, any bit of extra time, but morning time is such a potent time. Let's go with 60 minutes every morning. Let's just say that you go, okay, enough is enough. I'm stopping this struggle, this bullshit, my married life, the stress that is causing me, my queen, my family. I'm going to turn not only my marriage, my entire married life, my inner world, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to set a new standard for myself. And you say you're going to get up. What does that translate as? 60 minutes every morning over 365 days gives you 9.5 work weeks of time to train your mind and body to excel in self and tribal leadership. How fucking cool is that? It's like your soil, sun, and water time for the acorn of brilliance within. Every single one of you have the beautiful, metaphorical superpower of an acorn inside of you. All mystical traditions have pointed to this. Every single one of you. Buddha said, no Buddha has a greater Buddha nature than all sentient beings. It's just the obscurations are there in the nervous system. And once the obscurations are removed, your Buddhahood will be revealed. What's Buddhahood? Like, you mightn't follow the Buddhist terminology. It's like, it's your greatness, man. It's your radical, authentically expressed, free, open-hearted, loving being inside. It's your fullest potential. Name it what you want to name it. That's your time. You've got that acorn in. But it's like an acorn, a seed, it needs the conditions to thrive. But overwhelm, the outside in, tons of responsibilities being placed upon you, and the only way you can catch your breath is by scrolling on fucking social media. Just want to, let me get into trance mode. Let me jack off to porn. That's some bit of relief. Couple of beers. Let me just surrender into, you know, the slavery of just like work addiction. This can be quite provocative with what I'm saying, but it's like you got to trigger the shit, trigger yourself out of the same shit, different day mode that you're in. A lot of ways we end up coping with the stresses of life is just sedation. This is like waking yourself up to your fullest power, but you got to set your nervous system and body up to have the conditions like the soil, sun, and water for the acorn. You got to have that, and that's your sacred space. I would pointedly say to you, like, no morning sacred space practice, no right to bitch your married life is a struggle. If you don't make that effort to set the sun, water, soil environment up around your potentiality, don't be thinking you're just a victim. You're just a boy bitch. You're just a 5-year-old going around sucking his thumb going, I'm going to rant against life to the point at which life gives me what I want. How's that working out for you? You know, it's like you got to keep asking that question. How is my own perspective working out for me? How are the results in my marriage? Okay, we're talking about marriage here, but by extension, your queen will trust your leadership when you've got your life in order. When you're showing such profound self-leadership and such extreme ownership over your thinking, your talking, and your taking action, that you're nailing it. You're nailing parenting. You're nailing your fitness. You're nailing your finances. And if some of you, like myself, you know, have the shame stick that beats yourself up. It's like, oh, I'm not nailing anything. It's impossible. It's hopeless. Why start? She's not expecting perfection. She is expecting that you incessantly plant seeds of progress, that she can see progress and feel progress, and it's consistently happening, that she can relax into your presence. Again, you need an intentional space to plant those seeds, your sacred space in the morning. 60 minutes every morning, over 365 days. That's 9.5 work weeks to you incubating your brilliance, incubating the greatest communicator that you can be in your family, your greatest emotional health, your physical health, etc., etc. It's insane. And as I'm saying in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, it's day one always. Fuck hitting snooze. It's time to get to work on this. But what do you do in that space? On a practical level, how do you create your sacred space? Of course, like many things, this is up to you. Get creative. Feel into what works for you. What I'm going to speak to you here are like sort of general guidelines to inspire what you might put your mind to. The one thing I would say is like the ideal is that your sacred space is separate from where you ordinarily do computer work, pay the bills, eat dinner. You know, it's like it's not in a central area of traffic in your house as much as is possible. I would say if a dedicated space isn't available, get creative. Finding like wherever your temporary space might be in the morning, which is perfectly okay. If you get up early enough, a kitchen table can do the job. If it's tidy the night before, you get up, you set yourself up with the things that I will mention now in a couple of minutes. Of course, that can do the job. The ultimate sacred space is your body. That's your temple. However, if it is available within your house, within your living space, it is an exceptionally potent tool to have that space set there, always ready for you. Two aspects, I'd say, in any environment, in any space that you set, I find it's essential to incorporate high levels of function and high levels of beauty. Beauty and function together. It's a space, a sacred space. It serves inspiration when beauty and function are there. The function allows your practice to be comfortable and effective, having everything you need ready at hand. In a user-friendly way, it's comfortable, it's set for you. What's the study of that? It's like by ergonomic design. What's ergonomics? It's like, oh, it's just everything is, it meets my needs in that moment, in that space. It needs to be comfortable and needs to be practical and readily available. Beauty It's not really a thing that men speak too much. Again, it's like it feels like one of these feminine things, but I like really would speak to that. Beauty needs to be represented in this space, and I would say in all spaces by extension in your life. Jordan Peterson speaks really eloquently and with ferocious directness to this point. You got to look at the signs. Beauty is represented in all spiritual sites in the world. Incredible temples, ornately decorated, beautiful architecture, because it uplifts the soul, it inspires you. It's essential, you know, beauty inspires your soul to transcend limitation ultimately, and that's what the sacred space is about. So let's talk about function. And work with me on this. Like, there's simple things here that might, some of them be as obvious as fuck, but you'd be amazed when guys do is like, there was a funny thing recently. One of the guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles, he ended up standing up in the middle of one of the circles, and it was one of these simple things where why touch base, and was like, oh, why are you standing up? And he was like, oh, just actually practical thing, the seat, the chair I sit on is fucking uncomfortable. And it literally, we sort of smiled. It was a human element of it. It was like it had happened a couple of times, and we set to challenge him. It was like, just get a cushion, get a more comfortable chair. And it was so practical, it was so simple, and yet he was more comfortable the next meeting. So seating, a chair or meditation cushion will both work. If using a meditation cushion, what I would say is make sure you get a meditation mat. That's like the square rectangle shaped thing underneath you, so that if you're sitting meditation, just that you're comfortable, that you're not on a hard floor, or if you're on carpet, just to make sure you just have that comfort element underneath you. If using a chair, make sure it's comfortable to sit on, like our friend in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. You know, if you have a literal pain in the ass, it's not going to support your practice. Have a table that's appropriate to the seating choice. The table is needed for the function of journaling, and I would say setting up an altar of inspiration. Now, the altar, sometimes guys are like, oh, just this is very religious, this is very formal. Sort of loosen up around this. Get inspiring. An altar, you know, if you look at any altar, it's like beautiful. That's where the beauty part. There are some practicalities on the altar as well. But this is where you set up the beauty of the environment. It's what serves to inspire your sacred nature to come forward, to open your heart. Think about using pictures or photos of, I would say, heroic men who inspire your masculine soul. Of course, they can be mystics. It could be Jesus for some of you, Buddha, could be Krishnamurti, could be, I don't know, Gandhi for me, Nelson Mandela, whoever that is that inspires your masculine soul. If you have a frame image of a quote that fires up your heart, that's another beautiful thing. Just some Zen-like statement, some inspiring statement that you can read when you drop into the space, that it just gets you there. You know, it's like those quotes, is like, oh, you know, you just want to growl and go, fuck yeah. Other ideas, you know, you can consider having an incense stick and a candle to create atmosphere. Just that sacred reflection that's happening. It's a sacred work that you're doing. Candles almost omnipresent around all spiritual sites in the world. Spiritual practices of all traditions, the candle is this incredible potent symbol that works. It's like ancestral inside of us. And the incense stick, again, it's just the incense stick, it creates a sensual experience. It opens up your mind and your nervous system on a level of scent, but it works deeper than that. What else is needed? I would say a journal is one of the, you know, masculine deep work's greatest tools, along with a pen that feels beautiful to write with. Again, like the chair, a pen that feels beautiful to write with. I'm cognizant as I'm doing this, the pen I have doesn't write very well. You know, get a pen that, you know, there's those pens that are beautiful to feel. They just feel, some of them have the cushion around it, or they're just, again, ergonomically designed to feel really good to hold. And when they write so pristinely, with such pristine ease. That's the type of pen. You want to set yourself up as much as possible. Attention to details, guys. Great leaders, attention to details. Consider right beside it, you know, having a little shelf or a tidy stack of your favorite books for spiritual inspiration. And I say loosely spiritual inspiration. It mightn't necessarily have to be, you know, it's like, oh, by the Dalai Lama or Eckhart Tolle. Of course, they can be beautiful ones. You can have, again, your masculine heroes, like a David Goggins, a Jocko Willink, some sporting leaders or heroes of yours that just are deeply inspirational. That can be a key source of inspiration to have at hand. I'd say have your device that plays guided meditations, preferably with audio recordings, allowing offline usage. I don't like in that space, there's so much distraction with social media and apps on your phone or devices that if you're online, just a tendency is to click on. Have downloadable ones. I've shared links before with the Heroic Husband's guided meditations. I'll share the link in this. A Tibetan bowl, you know, one of those meditation gongs that you just hit a little tap and makes that beautiful sound. Again, incense. Incense is inspiring the smelling, the scent part of your sensual experience. The gong, the Tibetan bell, that's the auditory, you know, you're hearing just that vibration. The images are inspiring your sight. So it's all the, and then your physical touch, you know, it's all a sensual experience in your environment. This comfortable seat, etc., the comfortable pen, it's that touch sensation. Again, it's being artful in setting your body and nervous system up to have the most inspiring and easeful experience here. Another powerful tool to have in your space is the likes of an exercise mat, a yoga mat. It serves for movement and body work. Loosening up, we'll talk about those in ways in a few minutes' time, what to do in the space. So, assuming that you're feeling the commitment, you're feeling the why, it's like, yes, you know, just reiterating those key points. 60 minutes per day by 365 days, that's 9.5 work weeks for you training your mind, body, spirit, nervous system to show up in an epic way. Taking control, conscious control over your thinking, talking, taking action, which creates your life from the inside out. If you did that over a year, it is almost impossible that your marriage would not turn around for the better. It's almost impossible that your entire world externally would not turn around for the better. You got to plant the seeds for this. So assuming that you're in on that, assuming that you're like, yeah, okay, cool, I'm on board. You've got the ideas how, you know, some inspiration as to how to set the space up, what that would look like and feel like. Now, what to do in the space? In Heroic Husband's Movement, we talk a lot about the five pillars of presence. If you've been following the podcast, you'll have heard of this previously. And if not, you're welcome to the topic. The five pillars of presence are stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. I'm not going to do a deep dive into these individually, but I would say, you know, pillars of presence. Presence is the foundation under your feet in life. Presence is the roots of your tree that go down into the core of the earth, the core of your existence. You know, the strength of a tree is the strength of a tree in a storm. You know, remember, the storm, it represents your feminine goddess. It represents life, the storm of life. How solidly you are in the storm is how deep your roots go down into the earth. So the five pillars of presence, stillness, sight, shape, state, and story, I really encourage that you tick in some way, shape, or form each of the five in your morning practice. It's building those roots to be down, deep, strong, so it fucking just holds you immovable. So if we go with the root metaphor, you are the oak in the storm, like that oak tree that has like stood for 150 years but still is there, vigorous, strong, bursting into life every spring and summer. And it's like it has weathered hundreds of storms, but it only gets stronger. That's the type of support that you want. Your sacred space is your dojo, where you sharpen your nervous system to be the mountain in the storm, the oak tree in the storm, whatever is immovable in a storm. You find in marriage, you got to be immovable in the storm. End of. Whatever metaphor you go with. Point number one is stillness. The practice of stillness is meditation. Meditation in the movement, Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles, and Beat Husbands, she brags about the podcast title that we go by. The heroic husband obsessively trains his mind to be a masculine mountain of stillness, energized by the unpredictable feminine shitstorm of his wounds, woman, and world. This is what I'm writing into the manifesto of the movement and the book I'm writing behind the scenes, slowly but surely. You got to obsess about meditation. Now, I would quickly say meditation is a process of coming to know your mind. The practice is not to, you're not going to enjoy meditation if you're sitting there going, oh, the process of meditation, the whole practice of meditation, success means sitting and feeling blissed out with no thoughts entering my mind for 10 minutes. If you do that, you're going to be like 99% of guys that just like get frustrated with meditation. It's the process of coming to know your mind. It's taking time to just sit and be with what's live inside of you. One of the greatest insights, the most important insights in meditation, in life, is you come to realize you are not your thoughts or emotions. You will find in meditation, even now, take a couple of moments, like what thoughts are emerging in your head. You will find that thoughts and emotions, they sort of just are burps of habitual loops in your nervous system. They just come up. Yeah? Like, of the, I don't know, I've heard statistics of like, how many, I don't know, is it hundreds of thousands of thoughts per day? It's like crazy, the amount of thoughts that come up. How many of those thoughts have you intentionally brought up? Now, what I mean is like, you know, to intentionally do something is like, you know, I am now going to drive my car to work. Okay, I will intentionally get the keys, go out, put them in, start the car and drive off. You intentionally drive to work, but you don't go to work like 60 or 100,000 times per day. Like just, oh, I'll drive here, drive there, drive there. Your thinking works like that, though. How many times do you in the course of your day, you're like, I'm now going to intentionally think a thought. Ah, the thought has come up. You know, a minute later, I will now think another thought. I will now bring up another emotional state of being. Ah, alas, from intentional practice, another thought has emerged. It doesn't fucking happen like that. Definitely in a fucked up society, in a profoundly sick society where there's so much unchecked trauma, as men, the biggest issue we have in marriage is our incessant thinking. We don't know how to get out of our heads. Our queens are looking for us to get into our bodies, to come from our heart, from our soul, our gut brain and heart brain. Get that shit online so we can feel into her. But feeling into her, feeling into life, empathizing, being able to sit with whatever she is speaking, whatever emotional state she is experiencing, key feminine needs are to feel seen, heard, and safe. You've got to be able to sit with whatever's live in your nervous system without some incessant fucking knee-jerk reaction that you have to speak to and react upon every thought that comes into your mind. It's fundamental. I know, years come by, knee-jerk reaction. If I thought it, I'd either blurt it out or I'd just get so frustrated I'd stonewall, but I couldn't sit with it. Meditation is the key practice of just disconnecting and realizing, oh, okay, I'm just witnessing awareness, I'm consciousness. Looking on at my whatever thoughts and emotions arise, and from here, I can be quite grounded. I'm beginning to realize I don't have to follow any old thought in my mind. Wow, I'm now the director of my life experience because I can now pick and choose and go, okay, this will link into story, point number 5. Yeah, I'll bring that up in a little bit. But it's like, they're not all thoughts are created evenly. That capacity to pick and choose between the quality of thoughts that emerge in your mind, that comes with meditation practice. So meditation. I will put the link in the description to downloading the free Heroic Husbands meditations to support you on this. So, you practice 5, 10 minutes, could be 20 minutes of meditation. Wonderful, brilliant. The next part is sight. Eyes connect and vision inspires. The practice of this is positive aspects journaling and future visioning. In Heroic Husbands, we talk about focusing. The Heroic Husband focuses his visual and imaginary attention on building intimate connection with his queen and kids and building the greatest married life he can possibly imagine. It's like your eyes, there's your physical eyes when you're looking at your queen, you're looking at your kids, you're looking and they connect. But then you also have your imaginary eyes. The yoga-friendly ones among you, because like, oh, third eye, it's like that, just that part of your nervous system that can imagine a future, that can imagine a visual of what you would like, what you would desire. What we normally do is we don't sharpen this, and we're constantly looking out for like the same shit different days. We're constantly looking for the shit we don't like, and we're imagining shit going bad, yeah? That's like, it drives hopelessness. We get really desperate and panicky and needy as husbands when we have no control over where our sight goes. So this practice is the positive aspects. This is like, this has transformed my marriage. If there's like, there's several of these practices. Actually, these practices I'm giving you, these are the core practices that I've done on a daily basis to go from like radical hopelessness, overwhelm, going, oh fuck, I'm losing my wife, my kids, my whole existence, I'm fucking doomed, to get my shit back in order. Positive aspects journaling. Like when 95% of, I call it the 95% rule, I spoke to this before, when, and in some of your cases, it might be the case in this moment, and I honor you, I've been there, where it seems like in and around 90-95% of your reality seems like crap. 95% of your marriage, it seems like it's just breaking apart. 95% if it seems hopeless, it's doomed. But there's a 5% that is there. You know, that 5% could be that your queen is still in the house. That 5% could be she's still sleeping in the same bed. That 5% could be, oh, she, like, you had a bit of a joke and a laugh this morning. That 5% could be, oh, we had a nice family movie night and we just joked and she, like, we cuddled for a bit. That 5% could be, and you get the point. Positive aspects journaling is focusing, this is your imaginary attention, but like you journal it and you write positive aspects of every single thing that you can think of that is actually happening in your life now that is positive. You can do it specific to positive aspects journaling about your queen. What are the positive aspects? Again, the tendency can be to, we focus all of our attention on where she's being a bitch and she's being wrong and it's all of this crap. Oh, that argument, what she said, what she did, etc. It's all bad. No, what are the 5% of the things that you can appreciate about her? The positive aspects. That if you sharpen your mind and you go 100%, put 100% of your attention, you train your mind to put 100% of the attention on the 5% that is positive. It is like natural law. It's universal law that the 5% becomes 6%, becomes 10%, becomes 20%. And the more obsessively you focus on this, and if you do it on a daily basis, it will become 50%, it becomes 70%, 80%. The second part of this is do positive aspects journaling on yourself. Because if you're like me, and I know the majority of you have, like every guy has some inner critic part that ends up, it can nestle in underneath the blame perspective of our mind, but why we blame is we're avoiding shame, a sense of inadequacy. It's essential to journal and focus your mind's eye on what's fucking brilliant about you. What are the positive aspects about you? You know, you're doing the morning practice. You've created your sacred space. Like, go you. You journal at that. Oh, I've done it like 4 mornings this week. I'm feeling better. I'm listening to the podcast. Oh, positive aspects. I showed love to my queen the other day. Oh, positive aspects. I don't know. I could have went into a rage. I settled myself down. I cleaned my plate emotionally. And then I expressed love for her. And I did express my truth. But I was coming from a calmer perspective. I was the mountain in the storm. Positive aspects about yourself. This transforms your world from the inside out. This is where you're training the pathways of your nervous system to go from protective pathways of shaming and blaming yourself into presence pathways of claiming ownership for what's fucking wonderful in your life, and you build upon that, you obsess on that. It's training the nervous system. When you do this as a daily practice, you will find that your nervous system is actually noticing infinitely more during your everyday life of what's good. And then, of course, practice from there. Speak it to your queen. Oh, I appreciate it. I'm just noticing all these beautiful things. Write out, show her your positive aspects. Write out like a list of 20 or 30 positive aspects. Oh, baby, I'm noticing all of this stuff around you. As you're in and around the house, the home, in bed, in our lives together, these are all the things I see. The queen wants to feel seen, heard, and safe. The future vision casting, there's multiple different versions of this. I would suggest like one really potent one is write a eulogy. It can seem a bit freaky. Some of you is like, oh, that's morbid. Masculine practices go with the intensity of it. Write a eulogy, like the best case scenario, you've got your shit in order, 60, 70, 80, I don't know how, like I'm aiming for 150 years of epic radical health, whatever number of years after, you don't have to define it. But years and years and years later, you've transformed your marriage, you've transformed yourself, you've lived out like the epic heroic husband that you are, the king you were born to be, an incredible lover, great father, etc., etc., etc. And write the eulogy as you imagine would be spoken by your queen. You can extend this by your kids, but like, you know, this is about transforming your marriage. Imagine, you don't want to leave her behind, but just fucking go with the exercise. Don't get argumentative in your head. Imagine your queen was writing like the most beautiful eulogy you could ever imagine that your queen would write about you. Write that down. This is such a potent exercise. This is in the morning journaling. You can also do like the 1 year best case scenario imagined, where you do go with the morning sacred space practice. You do go with every single suggestion you hear. You fucking max it to the last. You're like, okay, I'm going to train my nervous system that my thinking, my talking, my taking action is going to be epic. I'm going to study this. I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to commit that I'm going to have 9.5 work weeks of deep inner work of appreciating and training my mind, body, spirit to create an epic marriage life, deep intimacy with my queen. I'm going to feel better, healthier in myself, more positive about myself, loving and accepting myself, etc., etc. What's the 1 year best case scenario? Write it down. Do it several times. Start building this muscle of positivity inside of yourself. Again, it's sight. It's your inner world vision for what you want to create in your life. Same shit, different day. Very often, we're just regurgitating like the worst case scenario. That does not support. You have found that. Your mind regurgitates the same shit, different day. Oh, doom and gloom shit. Then, another one to journal is, my plan to get there is. So you do the 1 year best case scenario, you do the eulogy. My plan to get there is, write for several days in a row, one day, whatever it is, what's your plan to get there? Get strategic. Number three, another part to have in your sacred space, I would say it's shape. Shape is practice in meditation where you have masculine presence posture. That's essential. You're practicing your nervous system to be upright, to be open-hearted, to hold structure for whatever is happening in your nervous system emotionally, psychologically. And that is your practice that you bring to your queen. Masculine presence posture, sitting upright, spine erect. You're there. You're in a mountain in any storm. You're immovable. So there is a training in this through meditation that practices your posture for meeting any circumstance with your queen that will help her feel real trust in your immovability, that she's feeling seen, heard, and safe. Stillness in posture brings safety for your queen, of course, with a practice of presence. I have been remarkably still in my posture when I was stonewalling. Of course, that ain't what I'm fucking talking about. The shape part, you know, and it doesn't take a ton of time. Shape in heroic husbands in the culture, what I'm really working on is battle ready is a hero's baseline. battle-ready baseline. That's what you work at. Again, if you're like myself, if you're like so many guys that I meet, time is of the essence. I don't have the time. Cool. 10 minutes. It's insane. Myself at this moment in my life, podcasts, the circles, the movement, commitments to homeschooling, daily practices with my queen, daily health practices. I've hours of breath work that I do every day. I'm doing grounding practice, going out in nature. I don't actually in this moment have a ton of time available for physical exercise. I actually don't. But what I'm finding is insane is when I just shut the fuck up and put that victimhood bullshit on the side and go, okay, what can I do in 5 minutes? What can I do in 10 minutes? So essentialize my morning movement practice is like 10 minutes, 12 minutes. I found a guy online and it's like 10, 12 minutes. You can go on YouTube, you can get 10, 12 minutes. Calisthenics practices. Set up your own practice. Another practice is yoga sun salutations. Fucking YouTube it. Just sun salutations. It's a yoga sequence where there's a ton of the main exercises, but they're all done in a sequence that if you do several of those sequences together, super simple, structured, in 5-10 minutes, you've got a whole body workout. Is it the exact same as going to the gym for an hour? No. But better 10 minutes than living out, you know, hitting the gym, hitting a jog like once every 2 weeks or so. You're not going to have any compound effect. 10 minutes, like religiously as a practice, every day over 365 days, do the maths. It's like, it's astronomical what happens. It was 9.5 work weeks for 60 minutes, just 10 minutes per day. What, you've dedicated, a week and a half of your work schedule to working out. Your body would be fitter as a result of it. In very little time, it's just compound effect, compound effect. Compound interest is one of the most astounding ways to grow your money over time. If you just leave it there in compound and interest, it grows over time. The compound effect for the sacred space is that you hit every single one of these points. Like, and we're talking about physical shape here. You do 10, 12 minutes of intentional workout. The compound effect over a year is astounding. You will be back in full shape, surprisingly, with just a very small bit of workout every day. Incorporate that. You need to, you really need to have a body of a savage, I would say. And why do you need your body to be battle ready? Battle ready is the hero's baseline. Why? You need to have a body that is ready to ferociously protect the hearts and progress the dreams of those in your kingdom. You need to be lit up physically. It really induces a deep sense of trust and safety in your queen. And it's not about the Instagram version of fit and body. There's a lot of bullshit about you have to have be ripped and have the six pack. It's like, you don't have to have any of that shit. You need a body that's highly functioning and readily available with energy and in shape and toned that you just feel it. You know, because, you know, when I work out like that, I can feel it in the tone in my body. I walk more confidently. There's more power and strength. I can really feel it. My queen says it to me. She has given me feedback. She's like, Mark, you got to get back exercising. This has been a bit hit and miss for me because of my, in recent years, I've had a lot of daily commitments for breathwork practice of about an hour and a half per day. So I've had this battle to fit this in. But now that I'm in that zone of really getting my daily movement practice and strengthening practice, it's like, Mark, you just feel better in bed. You look better. I'm holding my posture better. It transmits a message of greater power and confidence in yourself, which evokes a response that is more trustworthy in your queen and your kids. It's an essential tenet. The fourth one is state. State is your emotional state. Energy in motion, emotion. You know, I think of Nikola Tesla. If you want to know, if you want to unlock the secrets of the universe, you got to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. It's energy. It's all about energy. If you speak, we talk about cleaning the plate in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. This is like you're on a daily basis cleaning your plate. the metaphor for cleaning plate, if you're fresh to the idea, is if you go into a restaurant and I'm your waiter and I bring you down your 5-star Michelin chef cooked meal, it's sublime, it's beautiful, but I serve it on a plate that is really dirty. I mean, it's grimy, it's dirty, it's like 4 meals have been served in a plate and it just dried in on top of it. There's rat hair, there's mouse droppings on it around the rim of the plate. The meal is perfect on the inside. Would you eat that meal? There's no way you're going to receive that meal. You're going to get actually quite viscerally angry with me as a waiter and go like, fuck off, just get me a clean plate, or you might just get up and go out. You're not going to receive that meal. And it's the same in communication with your queen. I'm like, the meal that you're serving to your queen are your words. But if your emotional system has hijacked your nervous system and you're in states of shutdown, your plate is dirty, as in your eyes are darting all away, they're avoiding her, you're in shutdown, you're slumped, etc., etc., your emotion is driving what your nervous system is communicating, the message that you're communicating. So a dirty plate, the meal will never be received. If your energy is dirty, if you have like a background stagnancy, most men have a background stagnancy or a steady state of just sort of resentment or frustration or pissed offness, or they're just closed off, they're not soft in their body. You know, in men's work, we talk about the ideal is strong spine, soft front. Whereas the standard state of being that creates havoc and destroys marriages is we end up, we have a soft core, hard front. Hard front, soft core. It's like the hard front, we're closed off. Emotionally, we're scared to go there. So we harden up, we're in protective mode. We have the fuck off look on our face. We stonewall or we're verbally attacking. But it's like we're transmitting a message of hardness. State mastery is, you know, if you want to unlock the secrets of the universe, if you want to unlock the secrets of how much love and honoring your queen is ready, is like just wanting to be able to feel safe enough to gift you. And yes, she is. The pain in her nervous system, if her message that she is transmitting to you has a lot of fucking shittiness in it, it's because she's not feeling safe in your presence. Optimizing your state. The practice is state shifters. There's so many different things. Actually, the physical exercise part, that's a great state shifter. And there are profound ones of breathwork. Breathwork and meditation, they sort of go hand in hand. If you YouTube search Wim Hof, super potent, deep breaths with breath hold. It's amazing how it can just, it's like it detoxes the stagnancy out of your nervous system. State shifters in Heroic Husbands, it's like if you're in heart closure, if you find that you're in closure, well then get into your body and then speak with your queen. Get into your body and then make love. Get into your body and then hold space, you know, do your parenting tasks. State shifters, you can, as part of your morning ritual, this is maybe not in your sacred space, but you can have a cold shower. Exercise, vigorous exercise, biodynamic shaking. That's literally just standing on the spot and sort of like vigorously shaking your body, vigorously, like shaking. And like, you can also do what we call a freedom of movement practice. You can put on music. If you have some dance music and you're feeling a bit silly, put on the headphones and just dance. Move your body. Move your whole body. I'm actually hit my microphone there if you hear the... I was moving my body, literally doing it. Oh, you'd want to see some video recordings of me when I do podcast recordings. Like, I'm moving. I'm like literally speaking like you're there in front of me, guys. You can feel that energy. It's actually its state. Because I bring, my practice is bringing passion, bringing emotion, bringing enthusiasm for me. Entheos, coming from entheos, like it's the God within, enthusiasm. You, in that state, you do whatever your practices are, is to sort of detox the vigorous. Breathworks are brilliant for detoxing emotional stagnancy, etc., etc. And it just brings forward this enthusiasm inside of you, this passion, this lightness, this open-heartedness that you're ready to gift your enthusiasm and passion and sexual libido to your queen. Number five, story. In Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, we're talking about drop the stick and get back to work. The stick are the thoughts of shame and blame. Shame thoughts, thoughts against yourself. Blame thoughts, thoughts against your queen or any aspect of your married life. Drop the stick. Just drop the stick, man. And get back to positive, like positive thinking. And it's not positive thinking as in you don't want to have any negativity in your life. There's tons of emotional states are deeply wise in that. Not so much positive thinking than thoughts that take extreme ownership for your life. Because if you go with positive thinking, sometimes it's guys can find it hard to have positive thoughts about claiming, taking extreme ownership of a shit show in their marriage. It's like, oh, it's not positive. So they're trying to sugarcoat with positive thinking. No, here you want to like drop the stick of blame and shame. It doesn't work for any human experience. Humans do not thrive when there's shame thoughts and blame thoughts being felt on the inside, even if you stonewall. All of that shit, you're transmitting a message that she's not going to feel safe around you. But it definitely, if shame thoughts and blame thoughts take over your tongue, take over your talking, you're taking action, that's why your marriage is in the shit. Claiming extreme ownership. The practices of this is shadow work journaling. This unclogs the mind stream. You know, your mind stream, your habitual ways of thinking. Shadow work journaling, that just sort of unclogs the system. You start figuring out, you know, resentments with your mom, resentments from earlier life with your dad, pattern repeats, you've become your dad or you tried to be the opposite of your dad, but you still have the same aggressive tendencies, etc., etc. And then positive aspects journaling, highest quality thinking. It sharpens your mind to think quality thoughts. You know, high quality thinking equals high quality life created. Reading is another beautiful one. This is where your inspirations, like this reading from inspiring examples of men that you would love to emulate. It's a really potent way of training your nervous system, of inspiring your nervous system to start thinking in different ways, to see new opportunities. The favorite podcast episodes from Beat Husband She Brags About, I've heard numerous guys at this point where they really study it. Some guys literally listen and take notes. What a potent thing. Get your favorite episodes. You're going to have episodes that just light you up particularly. Use that as like a 15-20 minute. You could take one episode, man, you could do your whole space in it, or you could take one episode and slowly take notes on it over a week, like 10 minutes per day. By the end of the week, you're going to have that week's episode with notes taken. What are the points that strike home to your heart and soul, that light you up? Take notes. Write down. How are you going to implement that? Again, make it almost like you're taking notes, but you're journaling. How am I going to implement this wisdom? What strikes me home, the insights I've had, what does that mean in my marriage? How am I going to speak differently? How am I going to show up differently? Super potent practice. Guys, all in all, this is like one of the most strategically important episodes and practices that I will ever share here on Be the Husband She Brags About. I am bringing this front and center for those of you that are not a part of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. I am slowing down and bringing this front and center into culture there, because I want every single guy there, they're already having, the vast majority of them, like astounding, beautiful, amazing marriage results. I want more. I want these guys to, like, it's a game of, it's not just transforming your marriage. Actually, that's sad. It's like, oh, I just want to get like over the hump and stop the struggle. No, you want to be onwards and upwards with the infinite sense of possibility and freedom. You're not going to feel free in your marriage until you feel radically free that you can be, do, or have whatever you want as a man, to meet your needs, your desires, like as much as possible on your terms. And you can do that with your queen only if you pay the price that it takes, you know? A lot of people speak about Olympic goals. Very few get there, get in the podium. A lot of, You know, it takes extreme ownership. This is the bottom line. I'm like, you can listen to this and go, oh yeah, that's cool, yeah, or like some of you will have clicked off already, but if you've made it to the end, it's all well and good hearing this shit, but if you don't make the effort and get your version 1.0 of a sacred space, don't overthink it. Just get a table, get a chair. Even if it's uncomfortable, version 1.0, like get it done tomorrow morning, set the alarm, half an hour, an hour. Jeez, if you go like the guy in Heroic Husband's Men's Circles, go to town on it and get up an hour and a half earlier and get your first morning done and optimize as you go along the way. You don't have to hit all five of the points. You don't have to get your space beautiful and perfectly functioning, but you just get day one done tomorrow. Don't listen to this and go, oh, great intentions. Yeah, I'm going to get the best space in the world. Don't mentally masturbate like I've done so many times back the years when I wasn't moving the needle on any part of my life. But I'd mentally masturbate about, I will get the best space. There's no other person that will have done a sacred space like me. And then I wouldn't act on it like for years. Oh, I'm going to be the best meditator. I come away from a Buddhist retreat and it's like, I'm going to meditate more than the Dalai Lama himself. I'm going to be fucking better. And then I would burn myself up with mental masturbation. Implementation is the way of transformation. Listening, it's a good first step. You become aware. But becoming aware and not implementing and taking action, it's bringing both of those together. Awareness, insights, channeled into implementation. This is the one thing that in a month's time, you will have radical benefits. 3 months time, oh my god. 12 months time of this, after 9.5 work weeks of your year's human experience dedicated to sharpening your thinking, your talking, your taking action on behalf of transforming your marriage, showing up as a better man, better husband, better dad, better human being, what you're thinking, talking, taking action, like inviting in what you want in the world, taking direct control over the message that you are transmitting, and thus having the best chance of evoking response from your queen, where she's like, oh yeah man, you're my king, you're the man, you're now finally showing up, this is the man I fell in love with, this is the man, this is the potential. Our queens love that potential. They love that potential. When they see us, that we're showing progress, that we're showing up more and more present, when we're backing shit up on a daily basis, to start getting excited, to start feeling hope, to start turning around, their heart starts opening, their nervous system starts softening because they're like, I can trust this man. But that man shows up and pays the price. And if you're not willing to pay the price to get up a little bit earlier to get your shit in order, hey man, again, no morning sacred space practice, no right to bitch, your married life is a struggle. You gotta be willing to pay the price. CEOs, billionaires, social reformers, world leaders, military commanders, Olympians, people who get the life in order in a way that satisfies them, fulfills them, gets the results they want, so-called success, they pay the price. Heroic husbands do the same thing. You are one of the most important leaders on the planet. Man, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your cross of destiny. Don't go beyond this crossroads without establishing this as your new front and center most important practice of your life. It will transform everything. You deserve it. Your queen's heart deserves it. Your kids, if you have them, deserve it. And the 7 generations after you definitely deserves it. Legacy is what the masculine heart is all about. That's what gives meaning to life. In perfect alignment with the mantra of our movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.